Just close with this one comment that if you've made your points and no further questions are being asked, it's very awkward to stand there and try to just repeat arguments or fill up the time. And that's just simply not an effective way to go. And you just don't be afraid. If you've made your points and there are no further questions, don't be afraid of saying, unless the court has further questions, I'll either reserve my time or sit down.
Yeah. So through the three lessons I'm hearing are follow your gut and less is more in some of these cases and read the room. So that's great, great advice. Look, let's turn to a sort of a substance question. In briefings and oral arguments. So this is the written papers and the oral portion of advocacy in front of the Federal Circuit. There's a whole variety of techniques and practices and styles that people have. And you guys see like literally hundreds of these each year. Talk a bit about the practices that you see, both the written briefing and in oral arguments, that you wish more attorneys would use, practices that are helpful to you, that are helpful to the system, that are helpful to the administration of justice, that enable you to get to a good decision effectively, all of that stuff. There's got to be practices that you see, both written and oral, that just work and you wish that more attorneys in front of you would adopt those practices. Why don't you get Judge Lynn, since you're on the seat right now, why don't you keep going?
Sure. Well, a couple of things about the briefs. First of all, and this is just my own personal idiosyncrasy, I am not a fan of footnotes, substantive footnotes. There's a place for, you know, certain types of footnotes, but I'm not a big fan of substantive footnotes. I can remember a brief that just stands out in my mind where there was one sentence that spanned two pages and there were three footnotes dropped from that one sentence with full paragraph substantive comments. Now, how am I supposed to read that? You know, I read three words in the sentence, then I drop down, read a paragraph, try to remember, go back, read three more words. I just don't get it. And I've always had the view that if it's worth saying, incorporate it into the text of the brief. If it's not worth saying, leave it out. So that's my own just personal idiosyncrasy. But in a more general sense, the most effective thing in a brief is to be clear, true to the record. Your credibility is essential. Don't overstate your case. Don't misstate what the cases say. Don't misstate what the witnesses have testified to or what the evidence says. Keep in mind that, you know, when I first came onto the court, we were in a paper world. Well, we're now in an electronic world. We have our electronic briefs. We have hyperlinks from the briefs to the appendix. So when there's a statement that says that, you know, plaintiff's witness said so-and-so, so-and-so, I'm going to click and I'm going to be there and I'm going to read it. And if the witness waffles all over the place and doesn't make the definitive statement that the brief contends it, he or she made, that, you know, you're losing credibility. So I would say, you know, there's a place for being concise. There's a place for being straightforward. Credibility, as I said, tell us what it is that was wrong and tell us what another tribunal did that warrants reversing or vacating. And don't waste time moving all over the waterfront with just words and words and words. We have a lot of stuff to read, and brevity is a wonderful thing. It's hard to write a brief that's short concise, right to the point. Easier to write a brief that fills up page after page after page. And I give a little pat on the back to my brother, Judge Chen, who, when he was in the patent office, the solicitor's briefs were always, they were a model of effective advocacy because they were short, clear, concise, right to the point. They said what they needed to say and they stopped. And that scores big points.
Yeah, so that's a great word to the wise for all the practitioners watching. Go read some PTO briefs. The PTO solicitor's office, they know what they're doing and they write what they need to write and then they stop. That's a great, great point.
You know, there was a great Texan named Tom Arnold, who many who are watching or who are in the room may know. Tom Arnold wrote a wonderful piece probably 30, 40 years ago, but he wrote a wonderful piece and it was all about effective brief writing. And the first line in this article was, the article he wrote was, get the drums beating on page one. And I've never forgotten that. It's a great tagline. And, you know, to open a brief and to get a picture in capsule summary right off the bat sets the tone, sets the stage for the rest of the brief. It's a great, great technique.
Excellent. Other comments?